It was eventide in Egypt, in the days long since gone past. The golden day was ended, and the shades were falling fast, when within a family circle there asked a firstborn son, "My father, have you acted as was said it should be done? Have you killed the lamb appointed? Have you taken of its blood and sprinkled on the doorposts, as it ordered is of God? For you know to-night his angel will pass all Egypt o'er. O father, are you certain that the blood is on the door?" "My son," replied the father, "you need not be dismayed. I'm sure you have no reason to be at all afraid. Your neighbours, who are sinful, may have some cause to fear, but then with you 'tis different. You have always been sincere, you have ever been obedient, so dutiful and kind, I think that God most surely can fault with you not find, and should he send his angel to pass all Egypt o'er, I think 'tis almost certain that he will pass our door." "My father, oh my father, you do not comfort me. My goodness or my virtue will not be any plea. There was nothing said of goodness in the stern command God gave. The blood must be the token, naught else my life can save. And besides, I know for certain that of goodness I have none. I know that I am guilty, I know that I am undone. My father, oh, do tell me, for I'm trembling now all o'er. Oh, father, oh, my father, is the blood upon the door?" "My son, it is most foolish that you should thus in fear should speak. I really am astonished that you should be so weak. It seems to me so childish thus to trust in blood of lamb. For my part, I hold different, more liberal thoughts of God. My thoughts are far more manly, more noble and more grand. I think he is so gracious, he won't urge his clear command. I'm sure you need not tremble with terror any more. God is so good and gracious that he will pass our door." "My father, oh my father, your words give me no peace. It only makes my terror and trembling to increase. That God is good and gracious, I know you rightly tell, but pray then to remember that he is just as well. If blood has not been sprinkled, he will not pass us by. He must come in judgment, and I, your son, will die. The thought makes me to tremble as I never did before. Oh, father, oh, my father, is the blood upon the door?" "My son, be more collected. Do not to fear give way. The judgment that you speak of is at some future day. It is not at all likely that you should die tonight. Dismiss your foolish fancies. I think 'twill be all right. You are my son, quite healthy. You are quite young in years. Indeed, 'tis most ridiculous for you to have such fears. This matter you can settle just before your life is o'er. So at present, do not tremble or think about the door." "My father, oh my father, my blood with fear runs cold. The angel's time of coming is now at hand. Behold, my father, do not trifle. Oh, hasten now and run. Oh, spare my life, my father. I am your firstborn son. If blood has not been sprinkled, if blood has not been shed, then soon I know, my father, that I'll be with the dead. My heart with fear is trembling now to the very core. Oh, father, oh, my father, is the blood not on the door?" My son, I'm almost angry, thus to see your foolish fright. Why, you are quite bewildered. Your brain is surely light. Give ear to human reason, give ear to common sense, and let those idle fancies, those morbid dreams go hence. I really have not patience with this wild frantic din. I'm persuaded you're mistaken. The angel won't come in. Of your strange and foolish question, I want to hear no more. So see, and do not ask me again about the door.
My father, oh my father, alas, 'tis now too late. I feel that I am dying. Woe to my hapless fate. Death has indeed now entered. I'm in his clammy grasp. I feel my pulse beat slowly. In his withering, fatal clasp, my eyes are dim. They darken. The dew is on my brow. My father, oh my father, I am dying, dying now. The blood has not been sprinkled door posts and lintel o'er. Oh, father, oh, my father, there's no blood upon the door.
The father stood confounded, in utter blank despair. The mother screamed in anguish and wildly tore her hair. Together they lamented, together loud they cried,
our firstborn son has perished, our firstborn son has died,
while all the family circle took up the mournful strain, alas, alas, our brother, our elder brother's slain. And that night their cry was mingled with the cry all Egypt o'er, for each firstborn has perished where no blood was on the door. The curtain here is lowered, the vision passes by, the tragic drama closes with their sad and bitter cry. The panorama fadeth and disappears from view, while up in sterner colours there comes the real, the true. For I trust that you, my reader, wilt by this plainly see that a grave and mighty lesson is intended here for thee. I have told a tale pathetic. I will now ask something more. My reader, are you certain that the blood is on your door? God did pass through in judgment when the firstborn son was slain, but ah, beware, remember, he will pass through again. He will pass through in anger, in hot consuming fire, and where the blood's not sprinkled will fall his vengeance dire. No mercy can be granted, he can show no respite to those who have the token of the blood thus dared to slight. The blood is what he'll look for when again he passes o'er. My reader, oh my reader, is the blood upon your door? The blood was then the shelter, it is the shelter now. No other sign or token Jehovah will allow, not now the blood of victim which on that night was slain, but the blood of Christ the Saviour, who has died and lives again. Oh, nothing else will save you from the coming wrath of God, save the precious blood of Jesus that once on Calvary flowed. If it is not your shelter, you well may tremble sore. My reader, oh my reader, is the blood upon your door? Of virtue or of goodness, it is most vain to boast. A sinner, God declares you, condemned, unsaved, and lost, corrupted and polluted in thought, in word, in deed. The precious blood of Jesus alone can meet your need. Your doings are quite useless. God will them all disown. The precious blood of Jesus, the passport is alone.
Naught but his blood will screen if God again pass o'er. My reader, O my reader, is the blood upon your door? My reader, let me ask you, how stands with you the case? Are you quite sure, quite certain, that you're redeemed by grace? Have you been broken, humbled, and confessed to God your sin? Have you believed in Jesus? Is your trust all in him? Oh, do not be offended, or think I come too near. I humbly, kindly ask you, with love most true, sincere. Your time is most uncertain. Your life may soon be o'er. By faith in Christ, my reader, put his blood upon your door. Perhaps like yonder father, you may foolishly delay, and hope to get it settled at some far future day. But ah, take care, remember, God's grace won't always last. His love and tender pity may soon for you be past. Oh, come now, do not trifle, delay not, do not wait, or else you too in anguish may yet bewail your fate. Oh, trust, believe in Jesus, ere the day of grace be o'er. My reader, at this moment, get the blood upon your door. That poem is by Alexander Stevenson of Blanton. I notice that our brother Frank Wallace has added an additional verse. Think not of blood of creatures, but look on Calvary's hill. See there a spotless victim, enduring all our ill. His sinless body suffered, his stainless soul was grieved. In darkness deep and awesome, he sin for us was made. Then into death he entered, his work in suffering done. Sin's dreadful power was broken by God's beloved Son. The spear-pierced side was riven, the precious blood did pour. His is the blood, dear reader, to put upon your door. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7.